Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover. We're going to get started with Richard Elliott, Summer Madness.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover. And that was Richard Elliott, Summer Madness. Well, are you ready and get turned within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that power as God. This great spirit that is known by many names, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And as we get intentional about the breath, we recognize that there's power in the breath. Let's get ready to breathe, family. And as you become intentional about the breath, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Then release the breath, family. Remember, sometimes we forget to breathe. And there is power in the breath. So right now, I just want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. Release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe again. And release. And let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Thank you. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be, and it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Throughout every aspect and fiber of your being, golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven, I am forgivable, and breathe the light, and allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes, and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Marvin Sapp, Perfect Peace. He will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Sometimes you just need to be in the grace of God and just hear peace. Peace be still. Peace. I've been thinking a lot about the grace of God. God's grace. And just being covered by the Spirit of God's grace. I'm going to start off by reading the science of the mind. And then it says, beginner's allowance. Suzuki Shanru once said, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, but in the expert's, there are few. Ernest Holmes, in a book, 365 Days of Rich Living, said, your life is a mirror people with the form of your own acceptance. Let me read that again. Your life is a mirrored people with the forms of your own acceptance. On a friend's invitation, I signed up for a deep sea fishing expedition off the shores of Corpus Christi, Texas. Prior to returning for my sophomore year in college, far into the murky waters of the Gulf of Mexico, I discovered we were booked on a commercial charter with professional fishermen. I knew nothing about the intricacies required. The dozen skilled fishermen began perching themselves along the railings and casting their lines, and within a matter of minutes, a hard jolt pulled my nylon cord. Gripping the handles, I pulled and bucked the line to gain control, but the weight on the other end felt enormous. Grunting and gasping out, excuse me, I started frantically crawling over and under the rest of the fishermen that encircled the deck as the catch began zigzagging around the circumference of the boat. On the sixth revolution around, several sympathizers gathered beside me with a net and a bunch of extra hands offering assistance in raising my catch out of the water. There was the result of my efforts, a 47-pound king mackerel. Some high-fived me saying, congratulations, but most simply gave me the hard stare muttering under their breath, beginner's luck. Was it beginner's luck or was it beginner's allowance? As beginners in anything, we haven't yet developed our muscles of cynicism or the resistance that come after disappointment. There can be optimism in mystery, a childlike, clean slate of acceptance where all kinds of possibilities are free to appear. As beginners, we are in a much greater state of natural allowing. Consciousness responds, creating demonstrations the way it always can be, swift and, yes, natural after trying new things, many new plant seeds of futility based on their history of disappointments. How do we retain optimism and a sense of allowing? That state of purity still exists within each of us and patiently waits for recognition. That's an interesting thought process. My inner guide keeps me available to good. My inner guide keeps me available to my good. How can we stay away from the cynicism and from the disappointments of and have that childlike attitude about all things, that clean slate, the optimism and mystery? I think we do that even in relationships. After we've been in so many disappointing relationships, we just go into next relationships with the idea of disappointment. I think we kind of, when we get used to disappointment, and we kind of continue thinking that's how life's supposed to be. But how can we release the memories of the disappointment? The muscle we developed in cynicism
or resistance that comes from the disappointment? That was a good question today. I'm going to pray on that. And I just think it comes from cleansing. That's why I think forgiveness is powerful. I think it's like a shower that we have to take every day. I think forgiveness is the way to just shower our body, our mind, our memory with the idea that we don't want to hold on to the pain and the disappointment. But maybe we want to hold on to whatever lesson that came from it. All right, family, we're going to talk about that thing called not good enough. That thing called not good enough. Why does that thing called not good enough rear its head so much? I wonder where we get that thought that we're not good enough. And then we sing that song for the rest of our life. Once it gets impacted into the cells of our body, we just don't feel good enough. That feeling of not being enough can stop us dead in our tracks. Maybe you're thinking, who am I to start this new business? Can I really be a good parent? Do I really deserve to get paid abundantly? Am I special enough to have a unique person? Who am I to be great, fabulous, talented? Who am I to be so amazing? Who am I to be a great, dynamic speaker? These questions do not produce quality answers. You see, when you are tapped into your confidence and when you know with certainty that you can and will thrive in your life's unique purpose, when you believe in your heart of hearts that the life you desire is so possible, that's when you are unstoppable. But the challenge is so clear. Not feeling enough is hard feeling to overcome. That not feeling enough is a hard feeling to overcome, especially when you've been stuck in a feeling that way for a long time. But you can break free from the feeling. You see, in order to dissolve these feelings of not enough, I think it has a lot to do with recognizing your own greatness. I think it has a lot to do with beginning to see yourself in the way that the Creator sees you. But more importantly, how do we connect to a power, the power that is? How do we connect to that place of being? I think when we disconnect ourselves from our truth, from the place of our start to feel not good enough, isolate ourselves from the truth that I am all that God is. I think it's just simply when that thought comes in to simply surrender to the presence and realize that I can do all things. I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. See, when we connect to a power greater than that not a good enough stage, that not good enough feeling, and be reminded of the presence that creates us. When we align ourselves with that larger energy, that presence of us that's larger than life, when we join that larger energy, we realize that we really are more than enough. Sometimes when I look out into the vast universe and I look at Mother Earth, and I see the beauty of God's art, the creation.
Creator's art. Allah. I realize the beauty and the presence of this universe. All thoughts not being enough, I just surrender. I realize that I am one with the universe. I am one with all life. I am one with all things. And just breathe in that knowing alone. Reminds me that given a purpose to come to this planet. And I think sometimes we forget that we were given a unique purpose. And just breathing in, just standing in this universe and begin my eyes. Connecting to that source. And we can choose in every moment to surrender and connect to a power greater than ourselves. Alone. So when we feel it not enough, really tap into the greater source, the source of all things. And connect. Because with God, all things are possible. With purpose, all things are possible. With love, all things are possible. Tap into that greater power. And the only thing that reminds us of this presence that's always there for us is the times when we couldn't see a way and something just happened. When we were down to nothing, God was up to something. And it's really more about us taking action. I think that not feeling enough stops us from taking action a lot of times. Take that action. You see, on the path of your goals and all that stuff, it's normal in our human life to try for a goal sometime and even fall short. One of the greatest tensions in human existence is the tension between the life we desire and our current circumstances. You see, this life, after all, is a process of us ascending and becoming more of the truth. See, the moment of our conception, we are in the process of being. When being an infant, with being a child, with being a teenager, then of being adult. There's birth, life, death and rebirth. This is the cycle. We see the seasons. Birth, life, death and rebirth. You see that happen everywhere, especially in Chicago. We have all four seasons. We see April, spring, and we see March, spring in with the beauty of the buds of flowers, leaves start to come in, and we see full life fall where everything becomes amplified, beautiful, and then we see it fall off, and then we see rebirth again. That's the cycle. The aim of life is to be happy right where we are. The aim of life is to be happy where we are. Happy in birth, happy in life, happy in death, and happy in rebirth. And while our mortal body dies once in a lifetime, our dreams can die daily. Our hopes can die daily. Our goals can die daily. Our vision for a better future can be daily.
The path of success is to learn to navigate the depth of meaningful things in our lives with grace and a solid mindset. See, the teaching of Buddha reminds us that the root of suffering is attachment. And I want you to really hear that. The root of suffering is attachment. The teachings of the Buddha remind us that the root of suffering is attachment. And I want you to marinate on that. That's not to say you cannot and should not love. That's not to say you should not form relationships or even get your hopes up. But however, the aim of life is to increase our flexibility, our ability to allow, our ability to love without attachment, love without wanting to control how someone else should respond or act to the love that we give. The aim of life is to increase our flexibility. In the discipline of neuro-linguistic programming, it's known that the person who is the most flexible will emerge successful in the long run. In NLP, there are things called presuppositions, which are assumptions that the discipline makes about the nature of life. Like, what is she talking about, right? Out of our thought processes of our wanting to have a control, we have certain things that we want to come. These presuppositions is that of flexibility, which is followed. The person with the most flexibility will have more choices and therefore have the most influence in any system. A choice is better than no choice, and more choices are certainly better than less choices. Similarly, if what you are doing is not working, do something else. This highlights the need to change one's behavior and do something else again and again, if need be, until the desired outcome is achieved. In other words, one must be able to change readily to meet new circumstances. So if you have a set of goals and it has not come into being yet, consider that you must become flexible in your approach. Consider that perhaps your mindset is too rigid and you're attached to a certain outcome that, if released, would clear a path to a greater and greater outcome. The bottom line is sometimes we only marry to one way in our mind of how things should look or how things should outcome. I do vision boards with a lot of people, and I think the more I tell people all the time, I think this is the most that people want more than anything else. People think people want money and things and all that stuff, but people really want to be in relationships. I find more people desiring relationships than they do anything. But what's the problem a lot of times is they desire the only person they want to be in relationship with. I said, well, how about being flexible enough to allow yourself the divine presence, bring in the perfect divine presence for you. You know, a lot of times I was talking to a girl the other day. I did a vision board Saturday, and she'd been with this young man for 6 years, but he hasn't desired to be in one monogamous relationship, but she's monogamous to him. Now, what blows my mind away sometimes is people tell you what they want. People tell you who they are. And why is it that you are being monogamous to someone who says, I'm not going to be monogamous to you. I'm not ready for that type of relationship. And so now you got your whole board with his pictures. And that's all you all desire, just him. And so I said to her, I said, well, if you desire to truly be married, why don't you be open to what the universe has for you? That doesn't mean that he's not for you, but that doesn't mean he is for you. If you truly want to be married, why don't you take his pictures off and just put everything about marriage on this board and what it would look like to be married to the man of your dreams? Not physically, put him on there, but to physically put on there the relationship that you would like to have. That was hard for her to do because she was married to the idea that she wants to marry him and him only. This man says, I don't want to be monogamous. She's been with him for 6 years. And sometimes we can hold on to something so tight. I want you to hear this. Sometimes we can hold on to an idea so tight. We can be so rigid that we push it away. Because life is about energy. Because our energy becomes desperate about how we want things to be in our life. If you have a goal and it hasn't come into your being yet, consider that you might need to be more flexible. Consider that perhaps your mindset is too rigid and you're too attached to a certain outcome, that if released, it could clear the path for a greater and greater outcome. When your body is flexible, you are able to move with more grace and ease. When your mind is flexible, you're able to achieve happiness, fulfillment, and success with greater ease. It's so much easier to be attached to the past hurtful or disappointing outcome and assume that your future will be the same as the past. It's easy to hold on to attach. Yet your future will only be the same as the past if we bring the past into the future. How do you ensure that you do not bring your past into the future? You make peace with it in the present moment. So I ask that you just make peace and release this man to his highest and best good, to the point that it brought tears to her eyes for her to have the idea to release this man to his highest and best good. So I gave her affirmation to release him to his highest and best good, and that the perfect outcome for her and him will come forth in her life. Because it was just hard for her to have an idea to release him. And I just said, release him. And let me tell you something, fam. You cannot let go what's yours. And so if you release something out of your life and it's yours to have, you're giving it the freedom and allowing it the freedom to come to you with ease, elegance, and grace. Energy is real, family. She holding on too hard. And she's not attracting, she's repelling the energy of him away because of her hold on too tight. I wish I could make energy so concrete that you could see it. I wish we could see energy so real that I wish I could put colors on it. Okay, you see that red energy right there? That means she's holding on too tight. You see the energy right there? That means he's holding on too tight. To release them. You have to release. When we don't release and we don't allow, we're not making room for people to have the freedom to choose. Love is not attachment. Love is not manipulative. Love is not controlling. I love you enough to allow you to be what you need to be for your highest and best good, even if that means that's not with me. Even if it means it's not with me. I fully and freely release you. I loose you and let you go. I let go and let the perfect outcome manifest now. Fully and freely release you. I loose you and I let you go. I let go and let the perfect outcome or whatever you're holding on to manifest now. If it's a healing, I freely release you. I loose you and let you go. I let go and let God heal me in my own perfect way. I loose you and let you go. Whatever the holding on to attachment is, if it's a relationship, I fully and freely release you. I loose you and let you go, Britton. I let go and let God's perfect manifestation come forth in his own highest and best way right now. I fully and freely release you. I loose you and let you go. Because the good of one is the good of all. I remember reading in Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. She said most human relation problems were melt away. The people involved would practice the miracle of release. Instead of trying to make other people over to conform to their will and their way, people who hold on tight reins over their spouses and children often wonder why prosperity and good health are personally withheld from them. People who hold tight reins over their friends wonder often why their own health is so poor and they are unable to get permanent healing. Setting others free means setting yourself free. When you feel bound to other people, their attitudes, behavior, way of life is because you are perhaps subconsciously binding them to you. Then you begin to feel bound, chafing against the very bondage you have caused. Always you personally hold the key to your own freedom. You turn the key to that freedom when you release the personality, the problem, or the condition that you think is clutching you. You are the master, never the slave of circumstances. Let me say that again. You are the master, never the slave of circumstances. You become victor instead of victim when you dare to speak the word of release to and for the person or thing you think is binding you. A peaceful, poised woman was married to a cantankerous, dominating man for 20 years. Yet they appeared compatible. When asked how she lived in harmony with her husband's stubborn disposition, this woman quietly replied, "When my husband gets difficult, I just silently release him. He invariably calms down and does the right thing." Parents of teenagers have found this technique helpful. People have a way of unconsciously doing the right thing when they are emotionally free to do so. She said, even in cases of alcoholism, drug addiction, and other forms of mental illness, the use of release has often proved to be the turning point toward recovery. Often, even in death, we clutch to people who want to go on to the next phase of life. And when a person lingers between life and death, after they had a full life, you can be sure someone is holding them on this earth plane. And they should be free to go on to their good elsewhere. To such people, death is healing. It can be a welcome release for their souls long. She even talked about this. A businessman was concerned about his wife who had been in pain for many months from cancer. He said, "I don't think she can take much more, and neither can I. What can I do to help her?" "Release her to be healed in God's own way," was the reply. The man then decreed, "I fully and freely release you. I loose you and let you go, and I let go and let God heal you in God's perfect way." And within a few days, this woman passed on quietly in her sleep. A school teacher was concerned about her mother who had been in a coma for more than a year. This beloved mother had a large family of children who adored her. The daughter said, "I know my mother wants to go on to the next phase of life to be with my father, whom she loved dearly. She has been unconscious for a year in a private nursing home, and most of her estate has been spent in medical care. But I have a brother who gets upset when the possibility of mother's death is mentioned. He seemed to be holding her here." Words of release were spoken for this mother. Words of release was then spoken for the son. "You fully and freely release your mother. You loose her and let her go. You let go and let God heal your mother in whatever way is best." And within 10 days, this woman passed on. Surprisingly, her son seemed relieved over his mother's peaceful transition. Release can also bring recovery. Often when a person is released to their own good, instead of dying, sometimes they recover. A man of wealth was on his deathbed, surrounded by attentive relatives whom he felt more, who they were more interested in his wealth than his health. This man seemed to torn between a desire to live and a desire to die. A business friend dropped by to see him one night. And when he was very low, the sick man shooed his solicitous relatives out of the room, complaining to his friend, "They don't care anything about me. They're just waiting around to get my money." And then he lapsed into a coma. So the visiting friend sat by this man's bed as he lay unconscious and said to him, "You are now released from your relatives, so loose them and let them go. They have no power over you. They cannot take your wealth from you. You are free to stay or go. The choice is up to you." And that night proved to be the turning point in this man's condition. He rallied, regained consciousness, and later made a complete recovery and again took control
of his financial affairs. She said in this book, our problems are sometimes caused by our possessiveness, our strong emotional attachment. I want you to hear this, family. I don't know why we're so attached to things being the way we want them to be. And I'm talking about me, too. This was one of the most powerful lessons that I could ever learn in my whole life, was learning to let go of my attachment. I think my biggest lesson was when Diana was in the hospital and they told me she wasn't going to live. Can you imagine your firstborn child, 12 years, 13 years of age? And we had been going back and forth to the hospital. They kept telling me she had some kind of flu. She had some kind of real bad flu. And I'm like, the flu don't last this long. It's been 30 days, family. It just don't last this long. I thought in my mind it just didn't feel like the flu. She had some kind of stomach virus, some kind of stomach. She lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And I'm like, what is going on? So the last time we went to the hospital, I could tell that she was at, and I knew it was over. And they came back, Kim told me she had some kind of infection. I said, I'm not leaving this hospital. She don't have no infection. And for some reason, every time they came back, I said, that's not true. They came back 5 times. We got there at 3 something in the afternoon. They didn't find out what was wrong until her till midnight. And I said, you know, in this emergency room, this is the last time I'm coming here. We're not leaving. I said, we're not leaving until it makes sense. And if I had left the hospital that night, my daughter would not be here. And I had kept telling them until midnight when they finally decided to do an MRI. They saw all this poison around her. I can't think of what busted, whatever that thing is that busted. And if it busted, you would die instantly. Well, that had busted in her body. And for some reason, I can't think of what it's called right now. But anyway, she had all this poison in her body. And they said if they opened her up, she would instantly die because it was that much poison. And the only reason why she wasn't dead because her body, let me tell you, God is amazing. Her body naturally contained all the poison and had a barrier around the poison that it hadn't hit her heart. Her appendix had busted. That's what it was, her appendix. And she had that poison in her body for 30 whole days. And it was killing her slowly. She was weak. She could barely walk, barely move. I was like, something. So when they figured it out, they told us they wasn't sure she was going to make it through the night. They had put this thing to try to bring the poison out in her body and try to suck the poison out of her body. And through the night, she was getting worse, so they did an emergency surgery. They came in and said, Mom, we're going to have to do an emergency surgery, but we're not sure she's going to make it through the surgery because when we open the body, the poison is going to spread. But if we continue to go the way we're going, she's not going to make it either. So it's a 50-50 chance either way. I said, go ahead, do the surgery. Because they were sure the way they were going at the point of trying to pull the poison, it wasn't pulling it out fast enough and it was spreading through the body. So I thought the surgery would be a better option. Well, you know, she made it through the night. And then they did, you know, every surgery, they kept doing a little bit. And they kept knowing that, because when you open the body spreads the poison. And every time they opened her body, the 4 surgeries that they did, she was in the hospital they said she was going to be there for 9 months, but I think she stayed about 4 to 5 months. And I had been in that hospital for, I'll say, a good 3 months, every day, morning, noon, night. I never left. And one day, Brenda said, you're going to have to go home and get a shower and get a good night's sleep. He said, I'm going to stay here tonight. And he demanded that I go home. And it was hard to see her, you know, in this much pain. She had the morphine drip, and she could push at a certain time to ease the pain and to watch her in so much pain and watch her every time they touched her and just, oh, my God.
And I was praying, God, please don't take my baby. Please don't take my baby. I was holding on so tight. And I remember driving home, and I remember crying, and I remember saying, God, it occurred to me that I had been praying the wrong prayer. As I was leaving, I was remembering her pain. I was remembering the process. And I remember thinking to myself, God, if you could give me the courage, if you could give me the courage to live without her, we can have her. I was in the midst of losing everything. I had owned about 15 properties. It was a rough time. And I thought, wow, God, you can have all these properties. You can have every dime, every car, every FBI had shut down all my money, didn't have money. My mortgage was behind in the home I lived because I couldn't pay because my money shut down. I couldn't even pay the bill for the insurance at the hospital. I didn't have a dime. When I tell you I didn't have a dime, everything that was shut down had been shut down. The FBI closed. It was one of the most craziest things that had ever happened in my life. I couldn't even believe that I was in the midst of a chaos, a storm, and at the same time, God, you was taking my daughter too. Now, I didn't really, at the time, I wasn't so focused on money and cars and homes and all that stuff because I figured whatever was going on with that, I could refigure that out. But I couldn't figure out how to live without diamonds. That was the part that was hard for me. And I remember Donny Hathaway's song, Giving Up Is Hard to Do. And I remember just beginning to cry profusely on the way home. I remember saying, God, I think I've been praying the wrong prayer, God. And I know that I've been praying the wrong prayer, matter of fact. And I said, God, I'm just going to do this right here. I said, if you could give me the courage to live without her, I give her back to you. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I said, because the pain, even the thought of not having her hurt my heart so bad that I don't know how I'll do it. But if you give me the courage and if you can give me the strength, if you can give me, I'll give her back to you right now, God. I'll give her back to you. And I went home and I showered and I cried myself to sleep. And I say, Lord, let your will be done. And let it manifest right now. God, let your will be done. And give me the strength and the courage to live your will. Whatever that is, God, I give it over to you right now. And cried myself to sleep. I got up. I took a shower. I got dressed. I went back to the hospital. They said a miracle occurred overnight. You see, when I gave her back to God, God gave her back to me. She was walking around. She was so much lighter. When I left, it was dark around her. Even her room, she was dark. She was laying in pain. She was walking around smiling like she, they said she might even leave the hospital earlier. She was going around making rounds with the doctor. And I knew that God had given me back the same thing that I had given back to God. And you talking about one grateful somebody. And all I could do was just cry and thank God for the gratefulness in my heart was so profound in every cell in my body because I could not imagine life without Diamond. But I knew if that was God's will, I had to have the courage to live it, if that was what God said. And today sometimes I look at Diamond's face and I just remember the miracle and I say, thank you, God. When I looked and they told her she probably wouldn't be able to have no children, but look what God done. When I look in the eyes of Emma and I say, God, you a miracle working God. Because you're the real master physician. But I had to let go, family. I had to release the idea of what I wanted because I was holding on too tight. And I had to make way for healing to take place. I had to release that. Even in my marriage, I had to release Brent. When we separated, it was the best thing that ever happened. Because there was things I needed to learn about me. I needed to grow, and I needed to grow within my own space without nobody being there. I had been with Brent since I was 19 years old, and I didn't know Janine. You see, in that time when we split up, it was the journey that I began to learn to love myself. See, at 19, I didn't know nothing about loving me.
to release bring to his highest and best good. And I had to release myself into my own place because guess what? I was holding on too tight there too. This has been the best miracle working power in my life because in that I began to heal my inner child. I began to, when I was sitting in the middle of that bed and in that place I was in, I had just lost everything. And I just said, you know, I need to find me. I didn't know that's what I really needed to do. Devastated because they love their dad. But I tell you, they love their dad. I think Brenton probably was a lot more fun. He cooked them breakfast in bed. He took them to all the wonderful places. He wasn't so much of the discipline as I was. Okay, when you get home from school, you got 30 minutes, and then we're going to play the piano and the saxophone, and we're going to do-do-do-do-do, and you're going to, you know, and then we got homework to do, and, you know, when they get home from school, you get 30 minutes to do whatever you want to do, and then we right into a regimented act, and that's kind of how I was. But Britton was not like that. Oh, y'all gone upstairs and take your clothes off. I get home, they ain't took their clothes off, and they ain't did no practice their piano. They ain't practice their saxophone. They ain't did nothing, not even their homework. They just running around watching cartoons. I said, Brent, did they do their homework? Brent, did they practice the piano? Oh, they didn't practice the piano, but they getting ready to do their homework. And I think they enjoyed the looseness. And the discipline I had was probably not fun for them. So they really enjoyed probably more of their dad energy. They just probably loved me because, you know, I was the mom. But I wasn't, but I was a lot of fun. I took them to the park and took them to different places. And we had a lot of fun at things that we did. But I was more regimented. And I think that was probably why they probably seemed to love Brenton a lot more than they loved me when they was younger. But I had to, my point, getting sidetracked, my point is that I had to release him to his highest and best good. And in releasing him, I didn't know we were going to get back together. I didn't know that we would find our way back together. But I had to do that because I had to find myself. I had to find out who Janine was. And I didn't even know at the time that's what I was doing. But I tell you, in that journey of finding myself, it's so powerful when you are not attached to a certain outcome. Meaning that it do that you attach to what it is you desire, but not attached to who that person should be in your desiring. If you desire to be married, I would say don't be attached to the person that you want to be married to, but be attached to the idea of being married. Sometimes releasing people to be their highest and best good will release them to come back to you too. And sometimes it's not. But release is one of the most powerful techniques you can do on this planet. I'm telling you, miracles have occurred in my life by letting go of my process and letting people. Possessiveness. And sometimes we don't recognize our possessiveness. It's really important that we release and let go. You fully and freely release. I fully and freely release. I loose and let go. I let go and let God's good manifest in the particular situation. Whatever that situation is, I fully and freely release you. I loose you and let you go. I let go and let God's good manifest in our relationship right now and freely release. I loose you and let you go. Let go and let God manifest the perfect adjustment. Let go and let God guide you in your new experience. I fully and freely release you, son. A lot of this is the big one I had to do for my daughters.
I fully and freely release you, agent, to this earth life. I loose you and let you go. I let go and let God guide you into your new experience. I fully and freely release you. You now release from this house. I loose you and let you go. I let you go to this earth plane and make your perfect adjustment in your new environment. You are free now, and I am free too. There's so many ways you can just create this releasing atmosphere for you. Because release is magnetic. Release is magnetic. Release is magnetic. And let me let you hear this. Release is magnetic. You can never lose anything that is yours by divine right through the act of release. Let me say that again. So many people are afraid to release because they're afraid that when you release it, that you won't have it. Let me explain this. Whatever is yours, you can never lose anything that is yours by divine right through the act of release. Instead, you make way for your own particular good to appear right now. I'm going to say it again because I really want you to hear this. Release is magnetic. Release is magnetic. Emerson wrote in his essay called Compensation. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this, and I'm going to read this to you. But I want to say this one more time. Release is magnetic, and you can never lose anything that is yours by divine right through the act of release. Instead, you make way for your own particular good that appears. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote in a book called The Writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson. And in his essay called Compensation, he said the healing law of release has long been emphasized and practiced in various ways. You heard it said that a confession is good for the soul. It is good for the body too. The religious practice of confessional is an exceptional fine form of release. Even much less sacred methods of release have healing powers. In the book, The Autobiography of Mark Twain, he speaks of a famous pre-Civil War doctor who healed a patient by making her angry. She poured out upon the doctor her whole insulted mind, and she got well. Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, often healed his patients by causing them to relive consciously repressed experiences of the past. And as the old experience, consciously repressed, again came to memory, the patient usually discharged strong emotions, sometimes in tears, sometimes in resentment, sometimes in hate, sometimes in bitterness. And when this pent-up emotion was released, a kind of mental catharsis took place, and the patient was then restored to health. In counseling others, I have found that once the person released pent-up negative emotions, their mind then clears and is free to see a solution to the problem. The healing power of release is in connection with old relationships and experiences pointed out by Emerson in his essay, Compensation. We cannot part with our friends. We cannot let our angels go. We do not see that they only go out, that archangels may come in. Let me say that again. He said, we cannot part with our friends. We cannot let our angels go. We do not see that they only go out, that angels may come in. Well, he points out that such release is a necessary part of the law of growth, that such changes operate a revolution in our lives through which we cast off dead circumstances and worn out relationships so that new ones more friendly to the growth of the characters may appear. So I want you to really hold on to the idea that release is powerful. Affirmation that our beautiful Catherine Ponder gives us. She said, I now let go of everything and everybody of the past or present that has caused discomfort in, through, or around about me. We all go free to greater wholeness. She said, I let go of my tense hold on personal places and event things. I let go of what goes. I am not afraid to let go of possessive attitudes toward my dear ones or toward my possessions. For I now know what man humanly releases, they never lose. if it is in our divine right, it is only that which we try to tensely possess that slips through our closed fingers and escapes us, that which I willingly surrender to God. I never lose that, or something better will always be given me by my loving divine creator. Divine release produces perfect results of health, wealth, and happiness for me and through me now. So I want you to think about that as you move through your day today. Are you married to only one way of how things should show up? So today, I want you to be flexible in your thinking. I want you to release whatever is no longer serving a higher purpose right now. Don't be afraid to let it go, because you cannot lose what's yours by divine right. Don't be afraid to release your spouse. Don't be afraid to release your children. Don't be afraid to release the possessive strongholds on how things should turn out. I think that's the biggest cause of our heartbreak. When people ask me what Rochelle died from, I say she died from a heartbreak. They're like, what do you mean? I mean what I said. She died because her heart was broken. Because she was attached to how every, she didn't like change. I love the ground Rochelle Knox walked on, but she did not like change. She liked doing the same thing the same way all the time. The same restaurant. The same everything. Release is magnetic, family. Release is powerful, family. Release is the powerful thing that we can do to allow our greatest good to come in our life. Ooh, 7:21. That's my message. Release is magnetic. Anybody have any questions? I know. I don't know if I went too fast for the affirmation. If you really need the affirmation, let me know. Carlos. I said the affirmation. I don't know if you got it. But if there's any questions, press 1. This is a good lesson for us to learn. If you don't understand about release, let's talk about it. This can change the trajectory of your life. I'm telling you right now, release is one of the most powerful things we can do. All right. No questions. Okay. Releasing is magnetic, and you cannot lose what is yours by divine right. Don't be afraid to release. Don't be afraid to release. Don't be afraid to let go. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All right, family. We're going to go ahead and. All right, I was just giving people time to press 1. Press 1 on Blog Talk Radio and star 6 if you're on teleconference. If you have a question about release, if you don't understand release, if you're concerned about anything about release, I'm telling you, try this. This will open up your money flow. Try this. This will bring in more harmony in your relationship. Try it, I'm telling you. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever tried. Releasing. I think of release as another level of forgiveness. I think of it as, you know, even when I started to redo my forgiveness diet, I found myself not needing to forgive people anymore, but to release the situation of the residue of the situation. So I, like I told you, maybe you, like I've been through rape, and I forgive the people who raped me, right? But maybe the body has not released the tension or the stress that it remembers from being raped. And so I have to move through the tension of what I felt or even the releasing of my mom. You know, I forgive my mom for not showing up for my birthday, but I still navigated through life like I wasn't important. So I had to release and let go of the abandonment energy. I had to release and let go. I, Janine Ingram, loose and let go and release abandonment totally and unconditionally. I, Janine Ingram, forgive and release the feelings of not enough totally and unconditionally. And so that's how my forgiveness diet goes now, because I don't really have anybody else to forgive right now. And sometimes I do. When I do, sometimes names come up, but mostly things and emotional things come up because it's about the emotional release now. So I call this a deeper level of forgiveness. And so I just want you to hold on to the idea of releasing it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always text, email, call. And I just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. You've been tuned in to the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingrid. I am your daily lover, and this is Kim. Set me free. Have a good day, okay, Zakia.
Oh, thank you, Janine. Good morning. Good morning, Janine, and good morning, family. I just had to come in and apologize to you, Janine, and to the family for the misinformation that I shared yesterday about our beautiful Aretha Franklin. A queen of soul. I came on and said that she had transitioned. That was not the truth. I was misinformed. So I do apologize for sharing that. I know that she, the news is saying that she's gravely ill, but we have prayers that are going up, and we know that prayer works. So we're just going to keep her prayed up. But I just had to come in and just say I'm so sorry that I shared that incorrect information. And I hope you all will forgive me And I appreciate you. Thank you. And thank you, Janine. Love you.
You act like you just committed the worst sin to us. We're not. It's okay. It's all good. I mean, I didn't pass on the information because I looked it up and it said that she was gravely ill. So it's good. We all good. And thank you for sending love and light to Aretha Franklin.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I love you all. And thank you for your beautiful message this morning, Janine. I really need to hear that. Releasing is just another step, is another step in forgiveness. So thank you so much for that. All right, my love. Thank you. But come back on. I love you. Peace out, everybody. Have a blessed day.
Don't you wanna go, girl? Yeah.